God forbid that I teach you my opinion or just talk about the latest events that are occurring on the news or give you some hodgepodge mix of positive thinking, because there is no power to change your life in that.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm Joshua Halleck with Mark Jobe. Pastor Mark, it's summertime. People are traveling. You're going to do some traveling this summer?
I'm planning on it, yeah.
A lot of people are out of their normal routine. They're not going to be around the city, not going to hear Moody Radio at night. Is there some way people could still stay up with Straight Talk Radio?
We have a solution just for you. Yeah, you know, Joshua, sometimes people that are on vacation or travel or get away miss having Moody programming or even listening to the Straight Talk messages. And so I am super pumped up and excited to allow our listeners to carry these programs with you anywhere you where you have Wi-Fi access on your smartphone. We've come together with a team of people to create an app, a smart app called Straight Talk with Pastor Mark Jobe. And so this app will allow you to carry all of our program with you, the Straight Talk messages, Bible reading will be in there. We'll have other resources as well that we are producing here at this ministry. And so it's all in one place, one package, one simple click, and you will have all this stuff available.
That's beautiful. Friends, we designed this as a gift to you. Our heart is to help you develop in your walk with Christ. So you can download it right now at the App Store, Google Play, or the iTunes store, whatever's easiest for you. You could also go to our website, PastorMarkJobe.com, and find out more information there. But wherever you're going this summer and whatever plans you have, we're praying that God would develop you, grow you, and take you to the next level.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Pastor Mark continues his brand new series called Chain Reaction, Setting Change in Motion tonight. And tonight's message is going to be entitled Breaking Through Your Ceiling. Our text will be found in the book of Luke, chapter 5. We'll be in verses 17 through 32. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk.
When you're climbing up the ladder in a job, you don't want a ceiling. You want to break through a ceiling. When you're caught in the rain outside, you look for a ceiling. Ceilings can protect us from the elements, but ceilings can keep us stuck. I remember a few years ago that I had a leak in my upstairs bathroom. And I noticed I had a leak because it was creating a big stain on the ceiling of my first floor. And so I called up a friend of mine who's a plumber, and I said, hey, can you come and take a look at this leak that I have? And so he went up to the bathroom, he took a look at it, he came downstairs, took a look at it, and he said, aha, you got a leak. I said, I know, I called you because I have a leak. I said, can you fix it? He said, yeah, I can fix it. I said, great. He said, but the problem is behind the ceiling. I can't fix your leak until I break through your ceiling. Because your ceiling hides the problem, I have to make a big hole here, and I can fix the problem, but not until I break your ceiling. And I said, so you're going to make a big mess? Yep. We're going to have to patch it up. Yeah. There's going to be dust. Yeah. But I can't fix the problem unless you're willing to go through the mess of breaking through the ceiling. You know what I told him? Break on through, because I want the problem fixed. There are some of you here today, you've been living with a leak because you're unwilling to break through that ceiling. You can't fix the problem until you break through the ceiling, but you don't want the mess of breaking through that ceiling, so you live with the leak that's getting worse and worse in your life, and you keep thinking it's going to get better, but it's not getting better because you can't fix the root of the problem until you break through the ceiling that God is calling you to break through. I believe that some of you today are going to choose to break through a ceiling at the end of this service that we have. And I'm going to give an altar call at the end of this service for prayer. And some of you are going to come to this altar call and bow your knee and say, Lord, I'm finally willing to break through the ceiling and fix the root problem that's been holding me back. So I want you to prepare for that and see what the Spirit of God speaks into your soul as we speak, as I teach you through this account found in Luke chapter 5. If you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, I'm beginning to read in verse 17. This is an account of a paralytic man that was stuck. He had a problem that did not allow him to function on his own. He had a problem that kept his life in a subcategory level. He had a problem that made him live, but not live to his full potential. He could breathe, but not breathe like everybody else breathed. He could survive, but he couldn't thrive. He was paralyzed. We don't know if he was a paraplegic or if it was just paralyzed from the waist down. But we know that he could not walk. He could not move on his own. He was paralyzed. That which he wanted to move would not move. That which he wanted to work would not work. That which he was designed to do, he could not do. That which God had engineered and made him for, he could not accomplish. I'm describing some of you today. Some of you have gifts and call, visions and dreams, talents and abilities, but they lie paralyzed under some sort of injury, some sort of paralyzing factor in your life that's not allowing you to live what God has called you to live. What you were designed to do, you're not doing. What you were created to do, you're not living in. What God engineered you to do, you are not flowing in your life. You are paralyzed, dreaming about what you could do, but not able to do what God has called you to do. That's called a paralytic. In this account, it tells us in verse 17, and that's where I'm going to begin reading, verse 17 of chapter 5. One day Jesus was teaching. By the way, there's power in the teaching of Jesus. There's power in his touch, but there's also power in the delivering of his words and the truth that comes through the word. When revelation hits us, it sets us free in our spirit. Every week when we get together, I open up the Bible and I teach you out of the word. God forbid that I teach you my opinion or just talk about the latest events that are occurring on the news or give you some hodgepodge mix of positive thinking, because there is no power to change your life in that. The power of God, the power of God backs his word. The manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit comes when his word is taught. There is living power in his word. And that's why I'm committed to break down, teach the word, because I believe that when you hear the word and it mixes with faith, it does some supernatural, powerful things in your life. I believe in the power of the preached word of God. So one day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They weren't friends of Jesus. They were critics of Jesus. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. And some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. Some of you have hit a ceiling, and I'm going to give you just a couple of steps that you need to take or be willing to take in order to break through the ceiling and deal with the root issues in your life. Number one, you need to learn to seize the moment. Seize the moment. There are opportunities that you cannot afford to miss that may be in front of you right now. You know, interesting thing about opportunities is that opportunities are like windows. They open and they close. And once they're closed, you can't open them again. Opportunities are things that come at us unexpectedly. They're kairos moments. They're moments in which, well, I either step through this or I don't step through this. And sometimes if I wait too long, I will not have the opportunity to step through it again. In this case, there was a window of opportunity. Jesus was in town. Power to heal the sick was present. The paralytic's friends were willing to carry him, and the paralytic had faith that Jesus could heal him. It's a window. You know, a lot of us miss opportunities, don't we? Because we're distracted with life, or because we're full of fear, or full of doubt. Hey, you could be on the platform of the Orange Line, ready to go down to Chicago to go to your job and get there on time, but you're fiddling around with your iPhone, trying to do the latest Snapchat, trying to mess with the color of your Instagram so it looks just right. And the train comes and the doors open, but you're so engrossed in your iPhone and trying to upload it that when you look up, the door's closing. And guess what? You just missed your opportunity because you were distracted. Now, will the train come again? Yeah, the train will come again, but not at the same time. And you may have missed your opportunity to be on time because you were distracted when the opportunity opened up to you. I believe that God moves in seasons. It's interesting to note in this passage that the Bible says that the power of Jesus was there to heal the sick. That's always been an interesting passage for me because I figured, hey, wherever Jesus goes, there's power to heal the sick. Why does it say, and the power of God was there to heal the sick? Because I believe that God moves in waves. And that there's seasons in which God is saving people. I've seen seasons at this church where literally dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of people have come to know Jesus, where there's just a wave of salvations of people that are hard-hearted, that normally would not have anything to do, and they're bowing their knee and they're breaking and they're repenting and they're saying, Jesus Christ is my Lord. Supernatural seasons of harvest. I've seen times when God is working in healing. And we're seeing people's not only heart healed, emotions healed, but physically people being healed supernaturally by his power that could not be explained medically or physically. That's a supernatural power of God.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Breaking Through Your Ceiling, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Chain Reaction, Setting Change in Motion. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 17 through 32. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Breaking Through Your Ceiling.
I've seen seasons in which God was cleaning the house, where people were dealing with issues and repenting and confessing and bringing out their hidden sins. And God is just cleaning the house so that he can work in miraculous ways. And God works in different ways at different seasons. How about it? You can't get stuck in an old season when God is leading you to a new season. But if God is working in a season, make sure that you step into it if the window opens, because you may miss the season that God has for you. Hello. The power of God was there to heal the sick, it says. It's a kairos moment. The window was open. I feel like there's an urgency in my spirit for some of you, because I believe there's a window that's open, a window to get right with God, a window of salvation, a window where people have been praying that the gospel of Jesus Christ will go with power, a window for people to come to Jesus and to say, I've been far from you, God, but you're drawing me. A window for some of those of you who have been religious or distant from God, that the Spirit is saying, today is the day of salvation. I feel that urgency in my spirit. There's a window there. And I want to make sure that if God is calling you, that you not miss the window of God calling you unto himself. Number two, I'm talking about breaking through ceilings. Expect obstacles. Every major breakthrough will be preceded by personal challenges. Hey, there is nothing that's worth obtaining in life that doesn't come with challenges. If it's worth it, it will be hard to get. If it's worth it, there will be obstacles. If it's valuable, you will be challenged. The Bible tells us that in verse 18, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat, and they tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. Now, in Mark chapter 2, it tells us specifically that there were four men. And in verse 19, it says, and when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they attempted another way. Now, let's play this back for a second. Here's men. And I want you to grasp this. Here's men that decided that their friend, who they had known for a while, four men, they decided, we're going to carry this guy that can't walk on his own, and we're going to carry him to a place in where he can encounter Jesus. And so each of them take a corner of the mat, and they carry this man towards the presence of Jesus. I don't know how far they had to walk, if it was miles, if it was blocks. But they finally get to the house in which Jesus was. It happened to be, most scholars believe it was Peter's mother-in-law's house. Peter was married. Jesus healed his mother-in-law when she had a fever. And so when they get to the house of Peter's mother-in-law, the place is packed out. People are overflowing. They're hanging out on the outside. And so they take the mat and I believe they try to get in. They press through a little bit. Excuse me, we're trying to get to Jesus. And someone probably says, hey, dude, get in line. We're all trying to get to Jesus. And so they're trying to push it in, trying to get in, but they have a paralyzed. They can't quite get through. And so at that moment, they have a decision to make. Do we keep trying, or do we say we tried and it didn't work? And what was between them and Jesus? What was between them and Jesus? People. People. Not the nicest people, because some of them were Pharisees and teachers of the law. I think there's a beautiful visual illustration that sometimes between us and Jesus, there are people. And sometimes it's the people that keep us from the presence of God. And sometimes it's the people that we blame for the reason that we can't get into the presence of God. How many people do I know that I run into in a casual conversation and they find out I'm a pastor, and then they tell me, well, I used to go to church. And I say, well, what happened? Well, these people. That hypocrite that just didn't, or that guy that accused me, that person that was so judgmental, that pastor that wasn't really teaching the word, these people that hurt me. I just decided I had enough of organized religion. I always say that's fine, because join us. We're disorganized religion. You can come join us at any time. But the excuse that I get most of all is it's people why I'm not going to church or the house of God to worship God. Someone hurt me, disappointed me. Someone let me down. Someone didn't follow up after me. Someone didn't pray for me. Someone didn't encourage me. Someone promised something and didn't keep their word. Someone is keeping me from the presence of Jesus. These people could have given up right away and said, those people, they don't let us get close. They don't see you're paralyzed. Your needs are bigger than their needs, and they're not even sensitive to that. Let me tell you, if you're letting people that have hurt you or insensitive, if you're letting people with issues keep you from the presence of Jesus, then you have a very lame excuse. The truth of it is, you say, well, I went into church and this person had an attitude. They're in church and they're a hypocrite. They got issues in their life. Hello? Why do you think they're in church? If we can't come to the house of God to deal with issues, then where in the world are we supposed to go? Tell the person beside you, hey. Go ahead, say hey. Get their attention. I have as many issues as you have. Go ahead, tell them that. Oh, I heard some of you saying, you got more issues than I have. Come on, don't alter it now. Don't alter it now. And let me tell you, that person beside you that has issues, the day will come where you can use their issues as your excuse as why you no longer come to God. But let me, can I preach to you today? Can I give you revelation? Can I give you revelation here? The people of God may have issues, but God has no issues, except that he loves you and cares for you and has a purpose and a plan for your life. So don't project God's people's issues on God. He is perfect in every way. And you can decide, well, I got hurt, I got burned because of people's issues, and so I walk away from the presence of Jesus. Or you can decide to say, I don't care who stands in my way. I'm going to make it to the presence of Jesus. I'm going to climb over people, walk over people, build a ladder. But I'm getting to Jesus no matter who is around him and trying to keep me from him. I'm getting to the presence of Jesus. And I believe that this is the attitude that these folks had, because faith is the force that drives us to push through challenges. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. Faith is believing that God will lead you there even though you may encounter obstacles. Faith is knowing that God is true to his promises even though it may be a journey to get there. Faith is saying, God, I trust you even through the hurts that I may experience, because one day, Lord, I'm getting to your presence and I see a better, brighter, different future than what I'm living right now. That's faith. So not only do you need to seize the moment, you need to expect obstacles, but next you need to synergize your faith. Synergy means that the combined total of various parts is stronger than the parts that are alone. Synergy is multiple pieces together being stronger than the individual pieces alone. Synergizing your faith means that the power of combined faith can overcome obstacles that solo faith cannot overcome. In verse 19, it says, did I lose you? Are you still with me? Because kind of nod. Okay, I just want to make sure you're with me here. When they could not find a way to do this, to do what? To get to the presence of Jesus because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Don't miss the drama of this story. I believe, first of all, that it takes sometimes a group of friends to push you through areas that you probably could not push through on your own. Men are notorious for not having friends. Women say, oh, I got my girlfriend here, my girlfriend, my BFF, you know, and they got all the terminologies. I don't hear men saying, my BFF. Men have acquaintances, buddies, but men are notorious for operating in solo silos. Men have a hard time counting on one hand three friends that they can count as friends that they can open up to and really share with. Oh, don't get me wrong. They can put down a Bud Light and talk about the Sox with a couple of buddies. They can discuss politics and they can rant and rave about the finances and the economy. But when it comes to, like, can I share my heart? How I'm doing? How I'm feeling? How I'm struggling in my marriage? How I'm doubting my faith? How I'm depressed or down? Talk about how they're really doing. They're notorious for not having anybody to talk to. So don't take that strong exterior, I got it all together facade, as though they really have it all together and don't need anybody, because many men on the inside are dying because they have not one single friend that they can call out to and say, bro, I'm really struggling. This is what's going on. Can you pray for me?
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Chain Reaction, Setting Change in Motion. And tonight was the first half of his message called Breaking Through Your Ceiling. Join us again tomorrow for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book, called Unstuck, is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself for tonight. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back tomorrow. Have a great night, and God bless.